I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
The love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a happy and fulfilled life where self-care is the top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Paris. L'Oreal Paris Revitalift Pure Retinol Night Serum is their most potent retinol for deep wrinkles. Validated by the L'Oreal International Board of Dermatologists, it is loved by consumers and was awarded Best Retinol for 2021 by Grazia. Applying L'Oreal Pure Retinol Serum before your nighttime moisturizer can tackle the appearance of even deep wrinkles and brighten your skin. Revitalift is available in your local McCabe's pharmacy. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Good Glow Podcast with Jerry Hussey. And I'm so excited, before we get into it, to let you know that we have just launched our brand new course, The Good Glow Rise and Thrive. I've been listening to your feedback all year, and I know at times we all feel overwhelmed, that life has no balance. And sometimes we lack that self-belief that's stopping us from getting to the next level in our lives. So I've teamed up with two of my most popular podcast guests ever and friends, Miriam and Jerry Hussey. And together on this course, we're going to show you how to create inner belief and balance so you can become your best self. We went to Portugal to record this course, and I was so emotional, so blown away by the incredible conversations we were having. And I know that if you enjoy my podcasts with Miriam and Jerry, that you'll love the Q&A section of this course. So the content will be available from January 10th. You can watch the videos as many times as you like. Do the course at your own pace. And I know after my last podcast with Jerry, I was getting messages from people to say they were taking pages and pages of notes. So I wanted to put all that really useful, helpful content all in one place for you. So we have an early bird offer available now for a limited time. So the course is available over on thegoodglow.ie for just €69 at the moment. I'm really excited to let you know that as a health coach, I'm also taking one of the modules. So you will see a side to me that you've probably never seen before. And I'm really excited to bring my content to you and talk you through how to be well and stay well. Then Jerry's going to talk to us about that inner belief, and Miriam is going to talk to us about balance. So I'm so proud of this course, and I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to do it and get your feedback. You can also gift this course this Christmas over on thegoodglow.ie in the voucher section. So thank you for coming on this journey with us on the Good Glow Rise and Thrive, and I hope you get so much out of it. So on to my podcast, this week's podcast with Jerry, where we talk about inner peace this Christmas, you know, how we can step away from fear. Jerry also talks about his plans for America next year, and this is something he hasn't spoken about before. So I can't wait for you to hear it. Hope you enjoy. Jerry, welcome back to the Good Glow Podcast. And I'm so excited that this morning we've launched our course, Rise and Thrive. And I was just so grateful to yourself and Miriam for being part of such an amazing experience.
Thanks very much, Georgie. And equally, we're just delighted to be involved with you in what I think is just a real honest, open, vulnerable, but powerful conversations. I think that was my experience of putting the course together. The day we spent filming was probably one of the most enjoyable days I've had, and one of the most amazing conversations. And as you know, as a result of that, I've made some big decisions in my own life as well. So I think that's what a great course is. It's just where people open up and share their own stories and their own insights. And I'm really excited to be involved with it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. And, you know, it was a dream of mine to have yourself and Miriam on the course and work with you on Rise and Thrive. And as I was on my way over to Portugal, I was, of course, a little bit nervous. You know, I was saying to Miriam in the week before Portugal that we had never met each other in person before. And you've been such a part of my journey this year. So when we were sitting down and we were filming and we were just having such an amazing conversation, as you said, it was a real pinch me moment for me. And I'll remember that weekend forever. And not just because of those conversations, but the laughs we had too. You know, sometimes you need to have a laugh.
Yeah, I think people sometimes think I'm very serious all the time. But Miriam will tell you, I'm actually a practical joker. And, you know, there's a big part of me that's like a big child. I just see a lot of fun. And but sometimes I need people to unlock that part of me too, because... and that's one thing that Miriam does for me. And I feel it's when I'm around you and Jamie as well, I can kind of have a bit of a laugh. So people mightn't get to see it that often. But when I'm in the right environment, I think I can be good fun. Now, maybe I'm not, but I love having a laugh. I love taking life not too seriously. And I certainly don't take myself too seriously at times.
Yeah, no, I think that side of your personality really comes out, especially when I log on to your courses and see you in action and see you with your community. It's incredible to see. And I think when we were over in Portugal as well, you really had a connection with my brother, Mick, and you knew lots of the same people and you really, really just connected.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all frequency. People who know me know that. And when we talk about a spark or a connection between people, you meet people in your life and you instantly connect with them at a vibrational, at a frequency level. And maybe it's because you've had a similar background. Maybe it's because you've had a similar trauma. Maybe it's because you have similar dreams. Or maybe it's because God wants you to meet each other. And I think that guides, angels, or people come into your life at times, it's because the divine or the universe or God, whichever you call it, has sent that person into your life. And I've been blessed over the years that in the most unexpected ways, the divine or God has put people into my life. And the moment I meet them, I recognize them. And it's almost like I've met them before, but maybe I haven't. So we just had a connection. I think we just... you know, and maybe we're just two lunatics with a sense of humor. Who knows? Maybe there's nothing more to it than that. But I know when you meet people and you have an instant connection, I think they're meant to be in your life. And I think you have to take the chance. And as you know, I want to make more into my own life. And I think they're sent to you sometimes for a reason. And you have to grab the opportunity and risk speaking to them or risk reaching out to them, because you'll never know what could happen if you did.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, yourself and Miriam and lots of us have followed your journey in Portugal, and you're getting ready to come home for Christmas at the moment. What has Portugal done for you guys as a family?
I think it's not so much Portugal. We love it. Obviously, the weather, just the weather. It's outdoors. It's healthy focused. So for me, it's been a great place to be. But to be here, we had to really back ourselves, because when we said we were going to do it, everybody said we're in the middle of a lockdown, you're nuts, you have a little baby, you're nuts. But we know our heart was asking us to come here. And everything in our head at times said this is a crazy time to do it. Everything is going well here. There's a lockdown. You're in the middle of a pandemic. But we just kept stripping away the noise, and we asked ourselves what's in our heart. And there was something in our heart asking ourselves. And I'm just so proud, not of me, but I'm so proud of Miriam, you know, that she is brave enough and she inspires my bravery times. So coming to Portugal and being in Portugal was really important. But the bravery and the strength that it took for us to say, okay, get away from the noise. What's in our heart? There is something calling us to be here. I didn't know what, but I said to Miriam coming back, this will be life-changing and we will not be the same people coming home. And I can say 100% hand on heart, I am not the same person coming home. I was meant to be here. The divine called me here. I came. I've been given the greatest gift of my life. I've let a lot of stuff go that I was carrying psychologically, emotionally. I've healed, I've forgiven, I've been forgiven, and I'm just coming home a totally different person. I just know that in my heart, and it's been the greatest thing I've ever done.
That's inspiring. And when you speak about letting stuff go, and I think we all have things that we would like to let go of in our life, how do we do that? How do we get to that place?
Yeah, for me, it's not always that simple. The first thing is to try to understand, what is it that I'm carrying? So is it a belief system? Is it a story I'm telling myself? Is it a trauma? Is it a fear? So we have to really begin to listen to ourselves and look at the patterns in our life and say, right, what are the big decisions I've made in my life? And what informed those decisions? Was it love and passion, or was it fear? Was it self-doubt? So when you look back over the course of your life, you begin to see that there's habits in your life. And then you begin to identify that the main voice in your head is a certain voice. So I believe we all have at least four voices. I think we have the dreaming self that dreams great ideas. We have the planning self that, once it hears the dreams, begins to plan. We have the doubting self that begins to come in with all the doubt. And then we have the quitting self. What I try to do is, of course, I hear all four, but I try to make sure that most of my life and my decisions are made by either the dreaming voice or the planning voice. So if you look back over the course of your life at the big moments in your life where you could have turned left or right, where you could have taken option A or option B, what drove the decision? Was it bravery, ambition, and love? Or was it safety, security, fear? Was it a voice inside that said, I'm not good enough, that won't happen to me? When you thought about the what ifs, did you instantly think about what if it went wrong? Or did you say, what if it goes incredibly right? So I think when we look back at the big moments in our life, what was the emotion that drove that moment? What was the inner story that was in my mind? What's the voice I listened to? Now we begin to see habits. So I realized a long, long time ago, and I spoke about this in my book, that the voice inside my head was so self-critical that I actually believed I could do nothing. And I lived within, there's a lovely expression that I'm using, it's in my new book. It says, we live not within the expansiveness of the universe, but within the limits of our inner stories. And I had this inner story that, Jerry, you're no good. You have no worth. That would never work out for you. When I listened to that and I begin to identify that story was present at all the big moments in my life that stopped me from going after my heart. So then the next step is, well, where did I get that story from? Was it externally? Did I hear it from a teacher? Did I hear it from a parent? Or was it internally created? And I realized in my life, it was internally created. So then the next step is, why did you create that story? And I could track it back to three or four events that happened in my life. But I interpreted them in a way. I interpreted in a way that said what it actually wasn't saying. So as I say, we see the world not as it is, but as we are. So I began to realize that even though certain things happened in my life, and some of them weren't exactly what I would have wanted or would have liked, I started to run a story. I started to construct a story in my head about that event. I started to blame myself. I started to give out to myself. I started to feel shame about the event. And then I perpetuated a story that was the limits of what I deserved. So I think for people, it's first and foremost identifying what is the habits and patterns in my life. What is the inner voice that speaks? Which voice speaks loudest? Where did I first hear that voice? Was it external or internally? And then finally, what would it take to let go of that voice? So for me, then it was about Louise Hay and practicing, you know, self-affirmations, beginning to say beautiful things about myself, beginning to say, I am a beautiful, kind, loving human being. I deserve all the love in the world. And when I started saying that first, Georgie, I couldn't believe it. It felt wrong to even say it. But I kept saying, and we know from neuroplasticity, we know that each time we say it, we fire a new pattern in the brain. And I just kept repeating it until I actually began to believe it. So we can rebuild these stories. We can completely change the story that's in our head. It was also then in therapy, I started to speak out some of my traumas. I started to speak about them, reframe them. And then it was changing my diet, changing my exercise. So it's a long-winded answer, but it's about getting to the root cause and then knowing that the way out of it has to be multidimensional. It has to be, maybe it's therapy plus changing your diet, meditation, yoga. I think the route out of any type of situation is multidimensional. And in fact, the more multidimensional it is the more powerful and the more long lasting it is.
And we spoke about this on the course, and a part of your book that just, wow, really spoke to me. And I listened to you on Audible as well. So it's like you're telling me this, and you said, are you revolving or are you evolving? And when I thought back to my life of, you know, going into spin every day for 10 years and all I wanted was more from my life. But what was I actually doing to put anything in place to evolve? And it's quite an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Are you revolving or are you evolving?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I say to people, your life is expectancy is roughly 900 months and we sleep 300. So we roughly have 600 months on this planet. We all have dreams and ambitions. The future doesn't just happen. The future is caused by the little things that we do each and every day. So it's a habit stacking. So most people's, the outcome in any situation is based on all the little things that you did along the way. So what I regularly ask people to do is look at the things you give your time and attention to today. Look at the decisions you've made and ask yourself, are they taking me one step towards my dream? Or are they keeping me in a land of safety? Sometimes we even take actions and decisions that take us in the opposite direction to our dreams. So we have to align attention and intention. And that's the one thing that I've got very good at in recent years. When my heart dreams a dream and I wake up some mornings and I see a vision that's so clear in my mind, it's whether it's around selling out the concert hall, whether it's around, it doesn't matter what it is, living in Portugal. I just know it's in my heart. I know it's there for a reason. And once I decide I'm going to act on it, then every decision after that is based on manifesting that dream. It becomes my story. I call them future truths. I begin to speak about it as if it's already happened. When I meditate on it, I meditate as if it's already happened, so I can feel the excitement and the love. So therefore, every decision I make is based on making that dream a reality. So I align my thoughts, I align my emotions, and I align my actions in direct correlation to the dream I want. And when you become spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, and physically connected to your dream, when your process is all aligned in the one direction, it's very hard for that not to happen then.
Oh, wow, Jerry, this is so powerful. Like every time you speak, I feel like I have a different perspective on life. And can we talk about your book for a minute? Awaken Your Power Within. It's like my Bible. Every time I open it up, I feel like I learn something new, even though I've already read it, if you know what I mean when I say that. What has that process been like for you?
It's been really, obviously writing the book, and we spoke about this, writing the book first and foremost brings up a lot of stuff. So I had to go back and visit the deepest, darkest place in my own life. The danger with that is if I didn't really have it healed, then it would bring up all that trauma again. And there's a danger going back. So it was a real challenge to me. Could I go back and speak about it and write about it, but not be pulled back there? Mm. And I found that I actually could. So that was the first thing for me. It was a real kind of worry. What if I go back and I'm not actually healed at all and I just bring all this up? So that was the first step. Then the second step obviously is, how are my parents and family going to react to this? And the more I thought about that, there was often days that I said, I can't put this out. I can't. I worried so much about what they would think. But I have this expression, if you're nervous, focus on service. I've built my whole business on doing, trying to do one thing. How can I be of service to the world? How can I have this idea, if you can make somebody feel a little bit happier, if you can bring a little light to someone's life, why would you not do it? So I kept asking myself, I knew in my heart that this book had the power to ignite the light in some people's hearts. So I kept saying, you have to write this book. So my head was saying, you can't. And then obviously not all my family reacted fantastically to my book. And, you know, that brought up some wounds. So that made me heal. It made me mature some of the relationships in my own family. So that was a real, and I would say the day it was published and the book, the day the book came out and went straight to number one was probably one of the worst and toughest days of my life, because it really made me ask the question, have you really healed this or not? It really made me look at my relationships with so many different people. And there was, you know, all, you know, there was so much celebration going on that day, but I was sitting in the kitchen and I remember I said to Miriam, I wish I never wrote this book. Really? And I had to sit with that emotion for about 24 hours. But then I started to get some messages and it was amazing. Some people had read the book inside a day and people were sending me the most amazing messages. People were sending me just incredible stuff. And then I knew you had to write this book, this story. And I don't mind saying this, but I got about 2 weeks after the book came out, I got a letter. No, I got a message from a guy that I've never met. But he gave me enough details so I could have known him if I really wanted to. And he said, just in case you think that your book doesn't make a difference, if you didn't write that book, I wouldn't be here today. And I started crying because I was so, in order for me to write this book, I had to overcome so much of my own fear that we all fear. What my family think? What would people think? Will psychologists react against it? Will people say I'm a bit crazy? But deep down, I knew this book could heal. This book could do something for people. So in a few days, I had gone from saying to Miriam, I wish I never wrote this book. And then you have this guy saying, just so you know, I wouldn't be here only for your book. And people think you're interested in the book being bestseller of the numbers. I really couldn't care less. All I've ever been interested in is there a power in this book? Mm. And I believe there's something in the book, Georgie. There's an energy, there's a magic that's not mine. It resonates with people in a way I could never expect it. So now the book, you know, goes in all the bookstores in the UK this week. It goes all over the US in May because of a guy called Jake Lingwood, who has been involved with, you know, Brené Brown, Deepak Chopra, Tim Ferriss, Edith Edgar. And he heard me speak. He heard something in my voice. He wanted a Zoom call with me. He spoke to me for about an hour and a half. And he said to me down the phone, I want to do a three-book deal. I want to do a three-book global deal. I said, but I don't know if I have two more books. He said, Jerry, you've more books than you know. But he said, the reason I'm signing you is whether you know it or not, when you speak, you're not speaking. There's something else coming through. Mm. And I want to share that with the world.
Jerry, can we just take a minute just to like, what is going through your mind? Like, obviously that you know that your message has reached so many people already. But when you have someone on the phone saying they want to bring your book to America, and I know that you don't get overly excited about things, but was that an incredible moment for you?
Not really. My interaction was almost, like I said to you this, I've always believed, Georgie, that I'm connected to something bizarre. I always believe that there's a flood of information going through my mind. I wrote that book in 3 weeks. Sometimes I deliver talks and I don't even plan them. So I think sometimes it's not even me speaking. And I know that people might not understand. People might think I'm nuts. There's a message that I've been given.
Yeah.
My biggest fear in all my life was that I wouldn't be able to do the message justice. And then secondly, my biggest fear was if I start telling people this, people would think you're nuts, you're crackers. So you better just be the scientific psychologist talking around neuroscience and brain chemistry. But I knew there was something more. It's only in the last 18 months, and I think it's because of Miriam, I've given myself license to speak without thinking, to just speak what's in my heart. And I often thought, this is just nuts. So to have some guy on the other side of the world that is every day dealing with some of my idols, looking at me saying, Jerry, whether you know it or not, when you speak, it's almost not you speaking. You're channeling something and I want to share that with the world. And now you begin saying, maybe I'm not nuts. maybe the world does need this message. So that's all. All I felt was, I need to back myself now. because you can do this message justice. It's not your message, so don't get egotistical. This is a universal message that has been given to you and you're only here to share it. So I don't take any great credit for it, but I want to know that I can do justice to the message. And if this guy thinks I can do justice to the message, that takes the shackles off me. And that's what I'm saying. I'm coming home from Portugal now. I know what my mission is. I know why I've been put here on the planet. And for every day that I've a breath in my life and my heart beats, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to this mission. I know what it is. I've never been so clear. I've let go all of self-fear. I've let go of all worrying about what people think. And if my message can make people smile, if my message can heal people's hearts, if my message can make people believe that there is hope, then I'll happily spend the rest of my days doing it.
Yeah. And have you written that second book? Did you tell me that?
It's halfway there. And it's a follow on from the first book. It goes a little bit deeper and it begins to ask really big questions like, in a world of 6 billion people, why are so many of us lonely? Why do so many people believe we're not good enough? Why is the human soul so restless? Why are we as mankind intent on destructing each other? Why is there so much anger and labeling and segregation in the world? What is at the core of the human condition and what could heal? So I ask really big questions and then I begin to look at what is the human heart? What is the human soul? Why do we feel alone? And then I begin to put together 15 things that I think would heal not just our soul, but collectively could heal the soul of a family, a community or a nation, or maybe the world.
Wow, Jerry, I can't wait to read it. I'm really excited for you. Have you told many people about the book being launched in America?
No, I haven't told anybody. As you said, these things, I'm just excited about soul space. Sometimes it doesn't even dawn on me. The only thing that I got excited that I got an email from, she's a lady that's been put head of marketing for Awaken Your Power Within in the US. So it's getting its own marketing team.
Oh,
and for me,
wow.
I said to Miriam, isn't this nuts? Isn't this? So every now and again it hits me, but it launches in the UK this week and I had a load of people. I've done some this week podcasts from really big people in the UK in this field who've read the book and they think, and they're amazed by the book. And I'm doing a podcast with them, looking into a screen, a bit like yourself saying, God, I can't believe I'm talking to this person. I can't believe they're interviewing me about my book. So at Christmas is my big launch into the UK and then March will be the US.
I hope you're enjoying my podcast with Jerry and I'm really looking forward to you hearing Jerry speak about Christmas. And I thought really long and hard about what question I was going to ask him and I loved his answer. I just wanted to thank L'Oreal Revitalift for supporting the Good Glow this season and helping me bring these conversations to you. It's only when I started to really pay attention to looking after my skin that I discovered retinols and the importance of using retinol before bed. L'Oreal Paris Pure Retinol Night Serum leaves my skin feeling brighter and more evenly toned. I love reading reviews about products I'm using, and the words that jumped out at me for this retinol were glowy, smooth, and affordable. This award-winning anti-wrinkle serum is super concentrated, so it's recommended to start applying 2 nights a week, avoiding the eye area, and always using SPF the morning after. For a double dose of results, you can use it in combination with L'Oreal Paris Hyaluronic Acid Serum that will add plump and hydration to the skin. Sounds perfect. Now back to Jerry. Jerry, you said a few minutes ago there that you kind of stopped caring about what other people think of you. And I think we would all love to get to that place. How can we do that?
For me, it's, as I said, it's the healing work that I've done myself and my old trauma. It's my own inner stories, letting them subside. And then it's focusing on service. I think it's... I believe that I can be of service. I can believe that my message will resonate. If it only resonates with 1% of the population, if it helps one person, if it saves one life, then isn't it worth doing it? Even the other day, I was having a cup of tea with Miriam, and you know, something entered my head, and I said, if I die tomorrow, I've no regret. If I die tomorrow, my hand on my heart, I can say that I've tried to become the best version of myself. In all my big decisions, I followed my heart. I've always allowed love to overcome fear, and I believe I've made a difference in the world. And I've kind of got to the point where I'm not carrying any baggage now. I'm not carrying any. I've just made a decision. I'm not carrying any of that anymore now. If the world understands me, fantastic, it doesn't. But I finally understand myself. If other people accept me or not, that's okay. I absolutely accept myself. And when I look in the mirror now, I see a beautiful human being that's simply trying to be of service to the world. And I'm not going to hold that person back. And I think that's just as simple as it is now. It's not that I don't care, but I care too much about this message. I care too much about what's in my heart. And I care too much about this one short life that I have. And I'm just going to give myself permission to live it with all my heart and live it with as much joy and fun as I possibly can.
When we think of Christmas and coming into Christmas over the next few weeks, it can bring up a lot for people. So, for example, if somebody had a really tough year and they feel like Christmas isn't going to be the same this year, or they look at other people and they appear to have these really happy lives, what do you say to people who are struggling around this time?
Yeah, you're right, Georgie. I think Christmas can be a very difficult time, particularly if you've lost a loved one and it's your first time without that loved one. You know, Christmas will never be the same again. It doesn't mean that it will always be sad, but it won't be the same. Or somebody, as you know better than anyone else, Georgie, someone that has, after getting a major health diagnosis, and you're looking at your children and you're really wondering, will I be here next year? Christmas is a landmark event, and Christmas and New Year brings up a lot of emotion in different people. So while some people can be focusing on a very happy Christmas and a way of celebrating the year, we need to be mindful that Christmas brings a lot of tragedy and even trauma within families. When families kind of spend a lot of time together, a lot of people go back into the old role they used to play. So all I would say to people is, you know, think about what you want. Please say, I want a peaceful Christmas. But Christmas isn't peaceful or not peaceful. It's you that has to be at peace. So whatever you're carrying, whether it's a trauma, whether it's a bereavement, whether it's a health scare, the only question you can ask is, what would allow me to come to peace with this? What's the greatest gift I could give myself this Christmas? And maybe it is therapy. Maybe it is reaching out and asking for help. Maybe it's just talking to a good friend. Maybe it's beginning to speak with a little bit of kindness. Maybe it's just breathing and taking it one day at a time. And Georgie, you are the expert on this because, you know, you've been in those moments. I think it's just being kind. You know, Christmas for me, I'm a very proud Christian. I don't believe everybody needs to be Christian. I don't believe anybody needs to be religious, but I am for some reason. The story of the human Jesus really resonates with me. I don't know, was he this all-knowing, all-powerful guy that we sometimes led to believe. I think he was a deeply flawed human being. We know when we read the gospel, he suffered from anxiety and fear and self-doubt, just like we all do. We know he endured tragedy in his life. We know he suffered the pain of being human. So when I look at the message of Jesus, which is the message of Christmas, that's what Christmas is. It's a Christian celebration, but it's also a celebration of the symbolism of Christmas, which is kindness.
Yeah.
So can we just be kind to each other? Can we be kinder to ourselves? And if we are carrying something, can we be kind enough to ask for help? Because the danger is we always want to be strong. We want to bottle it up. We don't invest in our own stuff. People say it's too expensive. And we spend all this money gifting other people. So wherever you are right now, all I would say is, what is the greatest gift you could give yourself? It could be a gift of a conversation. It could be the gift of time. What's the greatest investment? We talk about Christmas and we talk about putting the lights up at Christmas. But all the external lights in the world won't matter if your inner light isn't lighting. So the only light you should be really focusing on at Christmas is your inner light. So a lovely question would be, what would light my own inner light at this time? And then finally, I would say, if you're someone who hasn't suffered of a bereavement or someone who has been lucky enough to have a relatively good year, you know, we in Soulspace have an expression that says, in times of darkness, light the light you have and welcome the weary traveler. What could you do this year to be of service? How can you bring more joy to the world? Whether it's volunteering, whether it's with the homeless, whether it's visiting a neighbor, the more we focus on bringing happiness to other people is the more we become happy. So what would lighting a light, when you think of the story of Jesus, you know, they were looking for a light. They were looking for someone. They were, you know, and just in the world right now, we have so much labeling and anger and segregation. Mm-hmm. We know from all the big tragedies in the world and all the big events in the world that we look back with embarrassment and shame about, what caused those events were segregation, labeling, anger, and judgment. We know those things are destructive to the human being. So can we just begin to be kinder to each other and to ourselves? Can we label less? Can we judge less? Can we have decent, honest, open conversations without needing to shout, roar, without needing to be right or wrong? Can we listen to each other? Can we ask people how they're doing? Because people are frightened. People are at the end of their tether. Can we just be of service to each other? The more we focus on being of service to another human being, is the more something amazing happens in ourselves. We become fearless. We become more awakened because joy is infectious. And if you can give a little bit of joy to someone else, you're going to feel it. So that's my wish for Christmas is, if you're carrying a trauma, if you've had a really difficult year, ask yourself, what's the biggest gift you could give yourself to this year? What would allow you to heal? What would allow you to breathe a little bit? And then if you've had a relatively okay year, then how can you be of service to other people this Christmas?
That's beautiful, Jerry, because I think we can get caught up in just the madness of Christmas, and it's important to come back. And like you say, think about the energy you want to put out into the world and what you want to give to yourself, I think is so gorgeous. And you're coming home to Ireland for Christmas. Is there anything that you're going to do? I know you like to swim in the sea. I'm just going to tell you now, Jerry is absolutely freezing. Will you do something like that when you get home?
Of course. The first thing I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to seeing my mum and dad. I've only seen them a few times in the last 2 years because of COVID. I'm looking forward to drinking some tea with my parents. I'm looking forward to just spending time with them. I'm looking forward then to obviously jumping in the sea. And after that, I've no great expectations. I think my expectations at Christmas are always rest, peace and connection. Yeah. So I'm going to rest. I'm going to do my best to keep up my own daily habits around meditation and prayer and exercise because they allow me to be at peace. So I'm going to keep those up and I'm going to just connect with the people I love. And I think that's it for me. I don't set too many big expectations for Christmas. I don't do big bash Christmas. I try to keep it very simple and those things, you know, around connection and peace. They're all I want.
Lovely. And Jerry, thanks for the reminder to all of us today to do that this Christmas. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me. And, you know, you're on the Good Glow course, Rise and Thrive, speaking about inner belief. And that has been a real theme of this season of the Good Glow. I spoke to Rory Stories and I spoke to Mel Robbins, and they both spoke about how, you know, we can speak to ourselves in a really negative way sometimes, and that can really hold us back. So we do dive into that on the new course. I also asked you a question that I only ever asked one other person before on my podcast. I started crying at the end of our Q&A. It was very emotional, but extremely special, an experience that I'll remember forever. So I just wanted to thank you. I wanted you to be my last guest of the season because it has been just such a joy and an honor for me to get to know you better this year. And thank you for everything that you do for all of us.
No problem, Georgie. And, you know, all I want to do is, I spent a long time trying to heal my own heart, change my inner stories to a point where I can live my life predominantly with ease, with grace, with joy, with fun. And I just want to, you know, end by saying to people, please remember, you are an incredible gift of the universe. Whoever or whatever made the universe saw it in all its spectacular beauty, its seas, its oceans, its galaxies, and yet realized it wasn't finished because you weren't here.
So I just wanted to stop the podcast here, because what Jerry goes on to say next is so out of this world that I wanted it to exist as its own piece. And I'm going to release it later in the week, just in a couple of days. It's 7 minutes of absolute joy, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That is it from the Good Glow this season. I wanted to say a massive thank you to L'Oreal Revitalift and to Vichy for supporting me this season. It's been so amazing to work with them. Thank you to you, the listener, for all the messages and for tuning in every week. And as I said, our new course, the Good Glow Rise and Thrive, is now available over on thegoodglow.ie. The early bird offer is €69, and it's myself, Miriam, and Jerry speaking about how we can create that inner belief and balance so we can become our best selves. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you very soon.